about something we haven't talked about for a long time, and that's the reading or the prayer that was done before anything else every day, and it's called the Shema or Shema, and it's well. Let's go there. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. This has been said to be the most important prayer in the Bible. It's a combination of three different sections of the Bible. It was important enough so that Jesus quoted it as a part of an answer that he gave. But that's another story. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4. It's 4 through 9. The first part is here, and that's the word, the Hebrew word, Shema, or Shema. And it doesn't mean just hear, it means to hear with understanding. It's not just to hear some words. And it is said of this prayer, or it's said of the word Shema, actually, that it penetrates to the deepest inner being. We don't understand that because we don't understand Hebrew. But anyway, so this the whole prayer is called the Shema, and the first word is Shema, or Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now this is, if you will, they're bound on your forehead. And when it says your hand, it's always assumed to be the right hand. And so the Antichrist number, 666, is on your forehead. And because it's in your, and it's just a symbolic of how you think, and then it's 666 is on your hand, because what you think is what you do. And so herein, you shall bind them upon thy for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So that's the first part. Now let's go to chapter 11.
Can I come in here? The frontlets here wouldn't be 666.
No, the frontlets here destroy 666.
Right.
Which is Christ. So instead of Christ, it is the one that the prophecy is to. But it doesn't make your mind any more holy than it ever was, because your mind still does its stuff. That's why the emptiness is so important. All right, now go to 11. Here it's starting in verse 13, Deuteronomy 11. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart not be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall I lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou. I'm not doing well. Verse 19 again. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Well, we could talk about that one forever. There as the days of heaven upon the earth, because heaven, or the New Jerusalem, came down. And that's our overriding reality. So we don't go anywhere except in our, to understand and to be apprehended by, we don't go anywhere because heaven is all around us, the New Jerusalem. But the only problem is, any time that you have time in the equation of your life, then you leave the mercy seat. Because the mercy seat is without time. So if time becomes part of your daily bread, then for that period of time until you repent, you've left the mercy seat. Anyhow, okay, now Numbers 15. Verse 37. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
15:37.
Chapter Numbers 15, verse 37.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you there?
Yes.
No, I was talking to Pete.
Yes, I'm there.
As am I. Gary, the one-armed Gary, is it one arm there yet?
It's my left hand.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that thou make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations. And they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, the fringes, anybody remember what they're called?
No.
Zitzi. Is that it?
I think that's right. Yeah.
All right.
I remember.
and that's the riband of blue. Now, these were on the fringes of Christ's garment. And that's what the woman touched. And he felt his energy or power leave him when she touched him. And she touched the riband of blue because she needed healing. We could spend all day on that one too, but let's go now to Malachi chapter 3. This is what's called, what I've called anyway, the Lord's Shema. And I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right, in case there's any Jews listening. I don't think anybody really knows. It's the last book in the Old Testament.
There. Which note?
Chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, or heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. And again, it's almost, without exception, every time it says the wicked, it's wicked one, both in the Old and New Testament. That he shall discern between the righteous and the wicked one, between him that serveth God and him that serveth himself. And you serve him not by serving yourself. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard. Anyway, the reason I wanted to study it is because I read something, and there's the Messianic Jews who created their own Shema. I don't have it with me, but it's proof that they don't see that Jesus was a fulfillment of the law, because they made it. It was just crazy. We hadn't talked about Shema for a long time.
Used to read it every time for him.
Yeah.
What?
We used to read it back on Wentwood, I guess. Is that right? Over.
Well, we'd started it when we were at Newton Court.
We read it often. Newton Court, that's right.
Yeah, we read it for a long time there. We read it before we studied Scripture. But then, I didn't want to make it, we stopped doing it because I didn't want to make it a rule.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you had to do. But I think it's good to remember periodically that it's a pretty powerful prayer. Mm-hmm. The ending here, and what I call the Lord's Shema, is them that serveth God and them that serveth themselves. Because you can't serve him and yourself at the same time. Yeah. Discern between the righteous and the wicked. Discern between soul and spirit. Between eternity and time. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Anybody have any thoughts about any of this?
Yeah, I've got. When I'm listening, I was listening through the lens of the scriptures testify only of me. So, through that port. Like seeing
Right. It's that location of sphere again. If you're in Him, these things are done. If you're not in Him, they're not done.
Right. If you're not in Him, then you got to do something. But if in Him, you see Him. And then even set it real clear. You look upon and you see and do.
Yeah, otherwise you end up having, you make broad your phylacteries.
Yeah.
And then you make your comfort, you put a bumper sticker on your car and that's what I wanted to do. The bumper sticker said, "This is a phylactery."
Yeah.
But the whole idea of let's go to Romans 10. We'll put that. Verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, or even in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe that in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, or the inner man, is what it says, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, say not, the one that always gets me in one of the translations that, you know, in the ancient times there were a whole bunch of different translations that various people had made. And one of the translations said, when it says, "Or who shall descend into the deep," that is to bring Christ up from the dead. And then they added, "as if you could be saved by your own works." But the whole idea of this mystery of God is we don't believe in our heart that he's raised him from the dead. We believe that in our heart, he's in our inner being, he's raised from the dead. And that's what it says. But it's not just that. Until you believe that and truly believe it with everything in you, then there's no confession. If there is, it's phony. But you confess with your mouth what you believe, and what you believe, you can't help but confess. But it's not that it's confessing, remember, is homologio, and it means to say the same thing that he says. And what shall I say? We're again back to all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. But this mystery, the word of God, abideth forever. And that's Jesus as the word of God. So the whole you can't, it all, I come back to everything about this mystery of God has to come from repentance. Because the anointing you receive, you have need that no man teach you, because the fullness of him is already within you. But that can't be revealed and won't be revealed without repentance. And that's repentance from everything. Otherwise, you'll be like, you know, this guy that we talked about. So, the light of the body is the eye. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye sees toil or labor, then your whole body is full of darkness. And even the light that is in you is darkness. And how great is that darkness? We've entered the rest. And that's what, if you understand the Shema, that's what it means. You've entered the rest. You've ceased from your own labors, as God did from His. You've entered the Sabbath. You've entered that day, that mystery, that life. You've ceased from your own labors in any dimension. That's enough. Take a big time.